Will to James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. If you haven't sent your card forward yet of who you are, please, Tony, if you would pick them up. Anybody have their prayer request cards ready? Brother Tony, just raise your hand, Brother Tony, come around and pick up what you have there, okay? James chapter 1. And the reason for showing that little DVD, I think sometimes we think that life around us is just perfect and fine. That type of thing plays itself out in many families most days in your neighborhood. There are people where family problems, there are people who are hurting, there are people who have situations that don't end as nicely as this little DVD ended. The reason, thank you, brother, the reason that this DVD ended, the story ended the way it did, is because the man, Papa Bear, just kept believing Jesus. There are so many who don't even know who he is. With that in mind, James chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, in our quest on teaching on applied Christianity, we're going to deal with a situation of how to be authentically religious. Hallelujah. For most of us, the word religion has a bad connotation to it, and there are two sides to the word, which you're going to look at. But the Bible, James writing, and remember, by the way, who he's writing to. He's writing to people who'd lost their homes. In Greek, it's called the dispersia, the people who had been run out of Jerusalem. They were in possibility of being arrested or imprisoned or murdered or tortured. James talks a lot about trials and tribulations. And then in the same breath, practically, he looks at these people who have been taking a you-know-what whooping from the world. And says, by the way, y'all need to be busy for Jesus. Now, if I was going to give a motivational speech, I probably wouldn't have picked a crowd like that to talk to about this. But that goes to show you that God has different ideas than we do. He doesn't just ask the perfect. He just doesn't ask the together. He doesn't ask the rich. He doesn't ask the successful to do his work. He requires that we all do. Keep in mind this little DVD as we go through this teaching of how many people that you just may know, maybe their names are on the cards that we've been praying over for the last week, that need somebody, just think who that somebody could be, to tell them about Jesus Christ, to tell them about the reconciliation power, to tell them about the renewing power, the possibility of having a brand new life, of being born again. Somebody needs to tell somebody. Can someone say amen? So many folks, if I was to knock on doors up and down the streets of Holmesdale, have no idea who Jesus is. God is just a half of a curse word. Jesus is just something we say. And people tend to forget, we can too, by the way, church, forget that Jesus is a real person. The Son of God, who came to set us free from the pains, the torture of the life that we live. Hallelujah. Told my son-in-law this morning, we were talking about a situation, you know, life is what happens while you're making your plans. We have a lot of plans for our children, we have a lot of plans for our grandchildren, a lot of plans for ourselves, and then life shows up. And things change, and people make decisions, and economies go bad, and political parties change, and all that stuff. And why have I got a blank screen here? That's why. James chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. I got several different renditions of it here. If any man, woman, boy, or girl, the word man is not a sexist thing there, it has to do with mankind. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Well, we're going to talk about that. There's a pickup from last week. But the next verse is something I really want to zero in on here. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. If you ever needed a definition of what we should be doing as a church, what we should be doing as a believer, hang on, here it comes. to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James was writing about a specific problem in his society. People had lost their fathers in this move from Jerusalem to where they were. They had lost their families. And James says, there's families out there who are hurting. You out there who are believers need to help them. The Amplified Version of the same thing says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious or piously observant of external duties of his faith and does not bridle his tongue but deludes his own heart, this person's religious service is worthless, futile, and barren. External religious worship, religion as it is expressed in outward acts, that is pure and unblemished in the sight of God the Father, is this: to visit and help and care for the orphans and widows in their affliction and their need, and to keep yourself unspotted and uncontaminated from the world. There's a positive and negative to Christianity. The positive is the good we can do. The negative, if you want to call it that, is that there's some thou shalt nots. You know, when I talk to people about Jesus and stuff, they don't want to hear about the thou shalt nots. But it's the thou shalt nots that cleans us up and qualifies us to be able to do the go-aheads and change the world around us. I don't know about the whole purpose of the churches, but one of the main purposes of the church is to provide a positive influence on the society around it. And if we're going to do that, if that's going to become the purpose of Abundant Life Fellowship, to make a positive influence on our society, we have got to be positive. We have got to, and this is, I'm going to have to lay this on at your feet here. Our responsibility is to show the world through our life that this thing actually works. If we're saying Jesus changes us and we're not changed, you got nothing to stand on. Amen? We are to be a changed people. The contemporary English version of that same scripture says, if you think you're being religious but can't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and everything you do is useless. Some of these new translations are pretty blunt. Verse 27, religion that pleases God the Father must be pure and spotless. You must help needy orphans and widows and not let this world make you evil. Hallelujah. We've been talking for a week or so now about being a doer of the word, not a hearer only. In this end of what we know to be chapter 1, James addresses religion. Authentic religion. During his day, as it is in ours, there's a lot of false religion. There's a going to church. There's a waving of whatevers. And you can do that in Pentecost too, by the way. You can wave your hands and speak in tongues. But James says that's not what you judge yourself by. You judge yourself by what you're doing for somebody. Once we've been changed through the blood of the Lamb, our job, if you will, our definition, our purpose is to help somebody else. Now, I don't know about y'all. I don't know how y'all got saved. But here's what did not happen to me. The sky did not open 35 years ago. Jesus did not step down from heaven and say, George, you must be born again. That would have been really cool. But it didn't happen that way. What did happen is a man was hired to paint my house. And wouldn't you know, that man brought with him paintbrushes, paint, and oh yeah, a big helping of Jesus Christ. And he had the audacity. How dare you come in my... I was an atheist, but I was an agnostic. You had to prove to me there was a God. And God knew that and sent this preacher. If this painter was just an everyday Christian like most people I know, it wouldn't have affected me. This guy was Peter and Paul rolled into one. And he just kept telling me about Jesus. While he was working, I would argue and he would just keep loving me. The man was sickening after a while. I tried to throw him out and he wouldn't leave. He had to finish his work. After he was all done and my landlord paid him, he showed up at my front door to tell me about Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. Bottom line to that story is, thank God there was somebody that God could tap on the shoulder and says, go talk to George. Hallelujah. Because that man had a story. Y'all have a story. It's called your testimony. The man had a story. He was an ex-drunk, ex-drugger, ex-a lot of things, but how he was living his life for Jesus Christ. And if he had just told me about religion, I could out-talk him. I did enough drugs to convince myself I was smart. Yeah, you're stay stoned all the time. You don't know how dumb you sound. Some of you out there going, yeah, I know what you mean. Hallelujah. I could have out-talked him. He wasn't the best talker in the world, but he was sharing his best friend with me. His best friend just happened to be named Jesus Christ. That impressed me. And several months later, I became a Christian. What James does here is to describe religion by telling you what pure religion is not. Amen? Religion, by definition, is an external, this word, external aspects. It's religious worship, ceremonial service. And if you take the Greek a little deeper, there's two words in the concordance that I'll just throw you for a loop. It says unreal and deceptive. James says that kind of religion is useless. If all we have is a Sunday morning, if all we have is a glory hallelujah, now I'm going to go home and beat the wife and yell at the kids. I'm going to go home and kick the dog and chase the cat. I'm going to go home and live like a devil. See, y'all laughing. I don't know if that's maybe what you plan to do this afternoon. Don't go home and yell at your family. Come to the picnic with us, okay? Hallelujah. It deals with a deception of self. It's when we accept ceremony in place of real worship. Do you remember what I told you about 30 minutes ago what worship was? It was telling God you love him. If we don't tell God we love him, if we don't have a relationship with God, we deceive ourselves. We begin to look at ourselves in that mirror I talked about last week and say, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I don't do half what I used to do. Yeah, but you're still not doing half of what you ought to do. Amen. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 in the New Living Translation says, but the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers, God, just stop and rest for a second. There's a lot of folks sitting in churches today, and I don't know, you may be one of them in this building. I don't know. You're there because your mama told you you're supposed to be there. You're there because of some guilt trip or whatever. But what God is looking for, this is Jesus talking. If you open up your Bible, you'll probably find it in red. So by the time, excuse me, God is looking for a certain kind of worshiper. I got a feeling, could be wrong, I got a feeling he's not looking for the ceremonial type. I don't think it matters how much you genuflect. I don't care how many times you bless yourself. I don't care what kind of water, holy or unholy. I don't care if you speak in tongues. I don't care what you do. I'm not so sure, Brother Jeff. I could be wrong. Been wrong once or twice. But I don't think that's going to impress God a bit. Because I don't think that's what he's looking for. I think what he's looking for, matter of fact, I know he's looking for because Jesus said it. He's looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Real. God's looking for real things. Real people. Can someone say amen? If our religion is not real, God's probably not all that impressed with it. Usually, I said this last week, and I got to say it again, probably at least one more time before I die. Our estimation of ourself is usually wrong. Amen? We tend to think, most of mankind, we tend to think that God is impressed by our outward expressions of worship. Now, if you don't believe me, I suggest you sit down sometime, take a course in old religions and comparative religions, and take a look at all the ceremonies and everything that mankind has come up with. And throughout history, at one time or another, every group said, well, aren't we something? We're just better than everyone else. Glad none of us do that. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7. I got to speed up here. I promise to get you out. We tend to think that what we say and what we do mean a lot. And though they are important, what is behind what we say, what is behind what we do, is the most important. Let me throw you something here that's not in the notes and want you to consider. This is one of these things you got to work with me, Brother Pear. Brother Pear tells me you just can't sit back and win my service. You got to work with me. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. I better skip. Go ahead. Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23 says, many will say to me in that day, we're talking about judgment. By the way, in case you've been lied to, we all will be judged. It's appointed unto all men once to die, but then the judgment. In that day, we will say, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we've cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Now, when you first read that, you say, that's pretty cool. I wish I could do those things. These are people who had the exterior look of religion. They had done certain things. They did a lot of churchy stuff. But when they stood before God and they gave God their credentials. I love that. Did you ever have people walk up to you and hand you their card? It's like, this is who I am. So what? That's a piece of paper, man. That ain't you. Anyway. And then, Jesus speaking, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart, ye that work iniquity. Jesus said, y'all get out of my face. All of the religion, all the exteriors, all of the ceremonies doesn't impress God. God wants all of us. When I say all, I'm not talking about just you all. I'm talking about y'all. Hallelujah. See, I came from down south. If I meant the whole congregation, I would have said all of y'all. That's plural. Y'all is singular. God wants y'all. He wants every part of us, every hidden weakness, strength, sin, whatever it may be. God wants us to give over all we are. Matthew 23 in the Contemporary English Version. You can see I've been playing with my computer again. All kinds of versions here today. The Contemporary English Version of Matthew 23:27 says, you Pharisees and teachers are in for trouble. You're nothing but show-offs. You're like tombs that have been whitewashed. Anybody remember what a whitewash is? It was a combination of lime and water that they would paint it. Not so much to make it white, but the lime took away stench. Anyway, you're like tombs that have been whitewashed. On the outside, they're beautiful. But on the inside, they're full of bones and filth. God is more interested in what's on the inside than what's on the outside. Quite honestly, I'm a pretty good actor. I can fool most people. What's on the outside may not be an indication of what's on the inside. Amen? Hallelujah. God wants all. The goal of our lives needs to be to become more and more like Christ. Okay? That's a given. Every Christian's goal is to become more and more Christ-like. And according to Ephesians chapter 4, that growth is measurable. This will continue. Paul is talking about the perfection process. This will continue, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature, someone say all grown up, in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. It's measurable. I deal with special needs children and child psychology during the week. And one thing they the insurance company always brings up is the progress measurable? I've got to prove every so often when I go to the insurance company that they've done this and this is what they've done in this amount of time. Our growth in Christ is also measurable. If you're still where you were 6 months or 6 years ago, chances are you got a problem. We should be in the process of growing. Amen? Until we no longer look like me or you or whatever, we begin to look like Jesus. Pure religion, undefiled religion, is not based on deception. It's not based on outward form. It's based on inward heart. Now, I'm not going to read them here today for wrong button again. You can write those down if you want. Take a time, look at them during the week. If you want to be real religious, you can bring your Bible to the picnic and look them up while we're swimming. Sorry about that. Bind that thing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. These are just, I'm just taking a moment here. I'm going to flip this thing in just a moment. Hallelujah. Find out what true religion is all about, what truly living for God is. Now, James tells us what it's not, but he also tells us what it is. Hallelujah. Pure religion has a mark called personal ministry. See, it goes something like this. Whatever I was is what I used to be. Now I'm something new, and I want to share it with mankind around me. Let me make it very self-centered. If you can do this with God, make the thing self-centered. There are people in your life that you just can't stand being around. Get them born again. Hallelujah. You begin to pray for somebody. You begin to pray for some. You can't hate them anymore. The longer you pray, the more the hate goes away. The more the dislike. I don't want to pray for that. But, oh, God, save them. Hallelujah. I've had, Brother Jamie, you hold me to this. I have had to at times say, God, I don't want to pray for that person. Help me here. I'm not going to say it's anybody in this building. I won't say that. But there have been people, and still are people, in my life that I have to go say, God, I really don't want to pray. But you said I have to. God, give me the love. Give me the ability. James presents a very concise definition of pure and faultless religion. Definition here is not based on human standards. But he says, states very clearly, that this undefiled religion must be before God. Ministry. Let me define ministry. It's one of the five foundations of the church. Ministry is responding to the authentic needs of others with the love of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about that. I should have put that in the notes so you could see it. True religion, which brings forth ministry, ministry being the responding to authentic needs. I'm not going to preach that today, but there's false needs and authentic needs. And you got to have discernment to know what it is. But when a real need presents itself that we can minister to, respond to, with the love of Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost. How can you love someone you don't like? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. How can you help someone that you think should help themselves? By the power of the Holy Ghost. How can you spend time with people that you don't want to be around? By the power of the Holy Ghost. It's starting to make sense. Christianity is not just for my friends. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to say that again. I think you missed it. Christianity, being born again, having a whole life change, is not just for my friends. It's for everyone. John 3:16, you heard it in the DVD. John 3:16. God so loved the world that whosoever, King James says, y'all are whosoever. The person down the street that called you and your mama names is a whosoever. The person in school that you're going to see on Monday morning, for those going back to school, who's wearing the same clothes that you thought was so just you, is a whosoever. Some of y'all girls, I know what's going to happen. And guys, you're going to go in there and say, oh, they're dressed just like me. They're a whosoever. The teacher that you're not going to like tomorrow morning and will like less by the time the school year is over is a whosoever. God puts in our heart the ability to love and to minister to those needs. And you'll never know when those needs will appear. Hallelujah. I spend a lot of my time during the week in the school systems. I'm not allowed to talk to Jesus unless someone asks me. It's amazing how many people ask me. Hallelujah. James shares an example of a specific need. By the way, the word visit in verse 27, it means with the intention to help. It just doesn't mean, hi, how you doing? It means to visit with the intention of helping with whatever way you can. The Bible pretty much teaches if we have the means to help, we need to help. Hallelujah. The Amplified Version of verse 27 says to visit and help and care for. There were people in this church. There was people in the town. They were orphans and they were widows and they were afflicted and they needed help. That was his ministerial target group. How's that? Amen. The question I got for all of us today, for y'all, in Honesdale, in this valley, in Holly, in the different areas, what needs are there and what needs can you meet? I'm going to say this a few times. I showed you that DVD for a reason. I know that was a fictitious story. How many families do you think have a similar situation going on? You don't have to raise your hands. I know. I have adult children who've come and left and left and come. It's a heartbreaking thing. Thank God the man portraying the father here had faith. I appreciated the moment of truth there when his mother says, are you sure that's the right thing? He says, no. You don't always know what's right in parenting. You don't always know what's right in life. But you do it, and you do what you do, the best you can, you trust God. Do I have to resurrect that old preaching and teaching? When Jesus went before the tomb of Lazarus, he told the people, move the stone, then he called Lazarus forth. Why didn't he move the stone? Because the people could do that. Why didn't the people raise him from the dead? Because only Jesus could do that. Jesus says, do what you can do. I'll do the rest. Amen? You just may be the person that could tell the father or the mother or the child in your neighborhood that there's hope in Jesus Christ. Knowing the Word of God is not enough. Hallelujah. We know that real love, what real love is, because Jesus gave up his life. This is 1 John 3. That's what stopped me for a second. I said, that's not John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. We know what real love is. I could preach a whole series on that, but I will not, because we got to get out of here in a couple minutes. Hallelujah. Do you know, whoever just said yay, do you know what real love is? If I knew who it was, I'd come right to your face and pick at you for a moment here. We think we know what love is. I got news for you. No matter how it's spelled, love is not a four-letter word. So y'all say, but L-O-V-E. No, you missed the whole point. Hallelujah. Love is willing to give your life for someone. Love is willing to lay it all down. Life is willing to what makes you willing to go another step when you don't want to go another step. Hallelujah. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. It's the church, fellow believers. Hallelujah. Verse 17, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Now, let me just say something about living well. I know we're in economic decline, whatever that means. I've been poor so long, I can't really tell what the economy does. See, y'all know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. But I got to tell you something about living well. Y'all need to take a trip with me sometime to another part of the world and take a look at what they're going through. And then you'll come back to America and say, you know, it's pretty good over here. My first pastor used to preach it this way. So if you're on welfare, you're better off than most of the world. Come on, people. We actually do have enough. I know it's hard. I'm not knocking anybody. It's struggling. I know what it's like to try to pay the bills. But God puts it in our heart to help somebody. I'm not going to advocate you do this, but I will guarantee this. If you spend your bill money helping someone that God wants helped, your bills will get paid. Now, you think about that. That's another sermon. Hallelujah. Dear children, let's not merely say we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Authentic religion creates or produces an appropriate action. We must learn how to minister to specific needs. Now, I'm going to say this. This is a lead into tomorrow. I'm going to be preaching in the next few months. One church, one person, one family can't do it all. There's things out there that we as a people will never change. But there are specific things you can change. There are specific things this church can change. And then the church down the street will do their part, and the church down that street will do their part. We got to do our part. Amen? We must put our love into action, John 13, 34. I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another just as I loved you. You should love one another. I don't know if you've seen it yet. I got tickled. Not much tickles me, but this tickled me. I rode down Church Street, and the marquee on the front of the Methodist Church says this: do unto others as if you were the others. Yeah. I had to requote that. That was cool. That was good. Do unto others as if you are the others. How do you want to be treated? Do you want to be left alone to cry yourself to sleep every night because your life is falling apart, your heart's broken, and no one wants to bother with you? Is that what you want? Or do you want someone to help you? You want someone to love you. You know, Anita, some of the greatest things people have ever done for me is to walk up and put their arm around me and say, it's going to be all right. No words of wisdom. But do me a favor. Don't come up and quote scripture to me. Okay? I'm not trying to be proud here, but I probably already know the scripture in several different translations. What I need to know is, as a human being that has that scripture love inside of them that says, I'm here for you. Hallelujah. I was talking to a young minister recently. He was talking about visiting people at a deathbed. And he said, well, what do you say? I said, not much. There's nothing to say. You comfort, you love, you're there. Your presence sometimes is just enough to get the person through. Okay, where were we? Pure religion must exhibit personal purity. Unspotted in verse 27 simply means unspotted. It means without spot. I'm going to read a scripture in a moment about the bride of Christ, the church. I have been blessed over the years to do hundreds of weddings. And I have never yet in all my years seen a bride come down the aisle dressed in white with a big old ketchup stain running down the front of their gown. Now, I'm sure the groom would still love her, but he just might at that moment say, I'm not so sure about this. Amen. So ladies, if you're gonna get married soon, don't eat at McDonald's with the gown on. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that we need to present ourselves before Jesus unspotted. My wedding garment, my life cannot be spotted by the sins of the world. When I come to someone's house, I'm losing my... Turn it on, bro. There we go. That's a short... That won't work for me. hang on. I'm changing microphones for everybody listening on the internet. There we go.
Where's Dave? Dave has forbidden me to come back here because I do stuff like this all the time.
Eric, see? He gonna come and bail me out because he knows what I'll do back there. Hallelujah.
Years ago, I came to this area as a guest speaker. And I was speaking to a church I ended up pastoring eventually, big old place. And they gave me a cord about 10 foot long. And you know me well enough, I can't stay 10 foot close to nothing. I got to move. And I try to go around, and finally I look at the pastors, you got me in a short line here, don't you? And he came up just like Dave's doing now, and he got this microphone with about 150 foot cord and handed it to me. And I'm looking. And he says, oh, yeah, that's long. If you go right out the back doors, is that prophetic? You want me out of here? Here comes the train. Hallelujah. Where was I now? All that silliness. Pure religion must exhibit personal purity. If you're hearing that sound on the internet, it's a train going past our church. Hallelujah. We're on one side of the tracks. I'm not sure which side. We are called many things, but we are called by God to a high level of lifestyle, a high level of a godly lifestyle in which we do not reflect the things of the world. Amen? Think of yourself as the bride. Man, you know, forget the macho thing for a moment. Think of yourself as the bride. I got to tell you something. This is a preacher's secret. I have never yet in all these years been an ugly bride. Something about the veil and the white and the beauty of the moment. I have never yet seen an ugly bride. There's something about that whole thing that's going on. Why spoil it with a gravy stain down the front of the gown? Anybody ever seen that show, Bridezillas? I cannot watch that show. Hallelujah. My male macho thing just won't let me watch them women. Anyway. Think of ourselves in the same way. We're coming in the name of Jesus to help someone, and we're living with all kinds of sin. Hallelujah. Okay.
The whole idea of spotless, this last page and a half of notes, all scripture, page and a quarter. James chapter 1, verse 14. Well, we'll go backwards. Every person is tempted and drawn away in a taste and baited by his own evil desire, lusts, and passions. It is a battle. No one just gets up and says, I'm never going to sin anymore, and everything's cool from that point on. It's a battle. Men, women, boys, girls, you will battle against your own feelings, your own lusts, your own, the world. You can't even turn on TV without seeing a partially clad woman or man, depending what your preference may be. I mean, they got a half-dressed person selling dog food. I mean, makes no sense to me. We're surrounded by it. It's a battle. It's a battle to do right. It's a battle to tell the truth. It's a battle, listen to me, it's a battle to tell the truth when telling a little white lie would keep you out of trouble. It's a battle, but it's a battle that we all fight. That person sitting next to you, please don't stare strangely into their face, but that person sitting next to you is battling just like you are. Maybe not at this moment, and maybe not the same thing, but I'll guarantee you in the next 48-hour cycle, they will battle a sin. Hopefully, they win. 1 John 2:15 from the NIV for all you NIV lovers. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in it. We're talking about the world system. The world's way of doing things. The world's philosophies. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, the apostle says, come out from amongst the unbelievers. Separate and sever yourselves from them, says the Lord. Touch not any unclean thing, and I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor. I don't have time to do it, but just let me just say real quick, the whole idea of an unclean thing is a mixture. It comes from the Levitical law, where you can't mix certain things. Jesus says through the apostle, don't mix good and bad. Don't mix your godly philosophy with the philosophy of Oprah. I shouldn't pick on her, but it's anyone on TV. Do not take a worldly philosophy, put Jesus' name next to him and say, I'm okay now. No. When Jesus comes into our lives, he begins little by little to change the way we think. You know why I don't think the way I used to? God's had 35 years to work on this brain of mine. And he keeps pumping me through the Bible and through the tapes and through the studying. And he keeps influencing my decision-making process. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that we're in the world, but we're not meant to be a part of it. We need to learn how, and here's the ending. We need to learn how to love people but hate the world system that was devised by fallen mankind with a generous helping from Satan. Hallelujah. The world system. The world system says it's okay to do this when the Bible says it's not. It's okay to take a life when the Bible says it's not. It's okay to do this, to steal, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to quote political figures, but I do happen to agree with something that was said because it's been said so many times recently and before. Just because it's right doesn't make it right to do. Just because it's legal doesn't mean you should do it. Are you out there? And it doesn't mean it's all right to do it until you get caught. I'm talking to people like me with a very heavy right foot. Hallelujah. I didn't even look up when I said that. Right, Dave? Dave is a professional driver. So he knows what happens if he gets his foot too much into. Well, you don't have a carburetor or anything. None of them do. You get your finger, your toes out of the injector pump. You know, you got to, hallelujah. Holiness is a serious matter, and I'm going to give you three scriptures as we close. Ephesians 5:27 from King James says, that he might present to himself a glorious church. That's the bride I talked about. The glorious church, the church of Jesus Christ, those who are born again, not having spot or wrinkle. When I was a boy, I made a real big mistake. I don't like wrinkles. My mama, I was about 13. My mama handed me a shirt that was wrinkled, and I told her she didn't iron it right. You know what I did with my shirts from that moment on, don't you? I ironed my own shirts. But God says no spots, no wrinkles, or any such things that it should be holy without blemish. Genesis, this is a long one.
Some of y'all remember Genesis chapter 6. This is where God looked at the world in the days of Noah and says, you know what? I'm really sorry I did this. We're going to have to make a change. But I want you to read with me to get to the end. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. All you young preachers, there's a lot of preaching material in that one verse. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man for whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But, I love when God says, but. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah, his family. Noah was a man perfect in his generation. You ready for a blessing? The word perfect in Hebrew translates without spot or blemish. Hallelujah. Of all the people who died in that flood, of all the people that were destroyed by the wrath of God, one man was found to be without spot or blemish. The man we owe our lives to, the man we owe our genealogy to, Noah. God saved him because there was no spot and no wrinkle. Hallelujah. Only Noah was spared. Closing. Christian life is always a delicate balance between the positive and the negative. We are to positively carry on personal ministry by responding to the authentic needs of others. And in the negative column, so to speak, the thou shalt nots, we are to remain unspotted from the world. Religion is not just a personal thing. It is very personal, but there's more to it. It is a personal thing in which our lives has changed that we may reach out and help others with their needs. Hallelujah to God. Have I got another one up there? Yeah. Pure religion is marked by personal ministry. The job of the church, the job of you as a believer, is to make a difference, to be a difference in someone else's life. No matter where you are or what you're going through, we have an answer. As bad as you think you got it, your neighbor's got it worse. Can we bow our heads for just a moment? I'm done preaching at you, pretty much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know that Jesus loves you very, very much. The scripture we looked at of John 3:16 says, God the Father loved you so much, all of us so much, he gave his son to die, to live, to be resurrected, that you could be saved. Sins forgiven, a new life, being born again, just like a baby coming out the womb, all fresh, all new. Hallelujah. God does that for us and then says, now that you've been born again, now you can help me spread some life to other people. So if you've been born again, you have a ministry. Wherever your neighbors are, wherever your family is, wherever your friends are, those names I had you write on those cards, that's your ministry. That's your ministry. God's preparing us. God's equipping us. God is sending us to change our community. Make a positive impact? Oh, you bet. You bet. Hallelujah. Jesus walked into the temple and he picked up the scroll that was handed to him and he read, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has sent me, and I'm going to paraphrase, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the wounded, fix the brokenhearted. Y'all can check that out. Jesus said, that's my job. And then when he left, he said, now it's yours. Hallelujah. Fathers, we stand here today, Lord God. We realize and know for sure that you sat the church in this world to make a positive difference. Help us today, Lord God, as we subscribe to, make ourselves available to your changing grace. Father, that the hurts inside of us can be healed, that we may heal others. That we may be saved, that we can lead others to salvation. That we may be filled with the Holy Ghost, the power of God, to make that positive difference in our community. Changes that we may change others.
in Jesus' name. Now, I know it's